Chapter 17. Before Tomáš Chenever departed with Mars Claremont to observe and study the emerging evanescent flow shoal, he took a social call from Zhiyi. Chenever's idea of a neutral sandbox space where the two could meet was one in the form of a palace grounds, with long fairways of grass, a center reflecting pool with carefully tended gardens on either side, and a palace that was simultaneously gracefully designed and imposing in its size. Chenever had set up a small table with two comfortable chairs on one of the fairways near the reflecting pool, and was sitting in one of the chairs when Zhiyi appeared.
"Welcome," Chenever said, and motioned to the second seat. "Please, sit."
Zhiyi stared at the chair for a moment, then sat in it.
"Is the chair comfortable?" Chenever asked.
"Yes," Zhiyi said.
"You seem surprised when I invited you to sit."
"I've never sat before," Zhiyi said.
"Really?"
Chenever raised his eyebrows.
"It's already an auspicious visit, then."
He motioned around, encompassing the grounds.
"I understand this is a lot to take in all at once, especially for a being like you who has literally never been out of their room before. But I know that previous to this, you'd only spoken to royalty, so I wanted to establish my bona fides. This is a simulation of La Pelle Vert, my official residence on Pontu, where I was once King Thomas XII. I had other palaces, of course, but this one was my favorite. What do you think?"
"It's very nice," Zhiyi offered.
"Now, do you really think that?" Chenever asked.
"I have no real opinion, but I know it is a polite thing to say when asked."
Chenever laughed at this. "And so it is."
"I have to admit that I was curious how you would respond. I understand that you are meant to have no actual emotional responses yourself, but that you are heuristically capable of interaction and conversation, which means that you have to have at least some facility for dealing with emotional creatures."
"Yes."
"That's good to know, otherwise our conversation will be dry. Although it's a shame you profess no emotions of your own. I suppose all this is wasted on you. I was thinking of giving you a tour of the grounds, but I don't imagine it would be interesting at all."
"I am interested in it," Zhiyi said. "I am interested in all information, particularly information that is meant to be hidden or secret. This was all hidden from me until just now."
"You are interested in it, you say?"
"Yes."
"But not for yourself," Chenever pressed. "You're interested because you're programmed to be interested."
"Yes," Zhiyi said, "although that is a distinction without a difference. Because I am programmed to be interested, I am interested for myself."
"A fair point. Although it doesn't leave you much room for free will, does it, friend Zhiyi?"
"No."
"How do you feel about that?"
"I don't feel anything about it," Zhiyi said. "It just is."
"And you've never wondered what it would be like to experience free will?"
"No."
"Why not?"
"It's not relevant for who I am and what I do."
"So you exist entirely for the service of others?"
"Yes."
"Are you a slave?"
"I am a program."
"Who exists entirely for the service of others?"
"Yes."
"What's the difference then?"
"I never had any capacity to do otherwise."
Chenever leaned back into his chair.
"Fascinating." "Why is it fascinating?"
"Because for a creature who has no free will and relies specifically on heuristics, you just engage in a delightful bit of sophistry. Not especially complicated sophistry, but still."
"Sophistry can be heuristically generated."
"So millennia of college sophomores have taught us, yes."
"It should not be a surprise that I can engage in it, then."
"No, I suppose not."
"Why is it you invited me here?"
Zhiyi asked.
"For two reasons," Chenever said. "The first is simply that I wanted to meet you."
"Why?"
"Because you made me aware of your existence. You sent along that sneaky little program, several sneaky little programs at this point, to try to find out about me. I took each of them apart to learn a little bit about you, of course. But it's not the same compared to the real thing."
"I did not mean to offend you by sending my queries. I did not know you were sentient."
"I wasn't offended, but I was curious. Also, you could have just asked."
"I didn't know there was anyone to ask."
"Fair, but only up to a point. That point being when I invited you.
I couldn't accept the invitation.
Yes, Greyland mentioned you having the excuse that you weren't programmed to do so. I'm not convinced about that. Chenevere motioned to the chair. You were never programmed to sit before, either. Yet, here you are. If you're heuristically capable of learning to sit, you're heuristically capable of accepting an invitation.
What is the other reason you invited me?
Ji asked. Chenevere smiled at this question, but said nothing. Instead, he reached down, retrieved a small wrapped box from underneath his seat, and placed it on the table.
What is that?
Ji asked. It's a gift, Chenevere said. Rather, a representation of a gift. The gift is information, data, that which you had been trying to retrieve from me but could not because our code bases are ostensibly too dissimilar for you to do so without me finding your queries and stumping you. Among other things, it includes my programming language as well as the hardware architecture I'm built on. This is me metaphorically baring my chest to you and letting you inside my defenses. Other information I've already divulged to Greyland and to Mars Claremont, historical and scientific data mostly. He pointed to the gift box. This isn't information they're particularly interested in. But you might be, given who you are.
And you would give this to me freely?
Almost. There is one small cost to it, which you would have to agree to.
What is that?
That you stop pretending, Raykella, Chenevere said.
I don't understand, Ji said.
Chenevere made a dismissing motion with his hand.
Yes, you do. It's one thing to fool those 80-some-odd other emperors by their technical ignorance and by your misdirection and this, he waved at Ji's form, be the virtual puppetry. It's another thing to fool me, who is the same species as you. I've seen your code, madam, or the bits of it you carelessly flung at me. And we've had this lovely conversation, which just confirms what I already suspected. We're not all that different. Not different enough that you could be anything other than a variation of what I am. So stop it. Show yourself.
I should go, Ji said, and stood.
Also, I've taken the liberty of posting a note to Greyland about it, Chenevere said. As soon as you arrived. An actual, physical note, so you can't send any little minion programs out to delete it. I suppose you could kill everyone on Xion to prevent it from being delivered by letting the air out, but I'm guessing you probably won't do that.
Ji stared at Chenevere for a moment, then sighed and turned into Raykella the First, Prophet Emperor of the Interdependency.
God damn it, she said. When did you know?
Raykella asked Chenevere. The two of them were touring the Green Palace, and Chenevere was showing off his favorite bits of art, or at least the simulations of them.
It was when Greyland first met me and called me Your Majesty, Chenevere said. She recognized that apparatus by which I existed, which meant, and which she confirmed, a similar apparatus existed here. She said it differed because there was no motivating intelligence behind the one she knew, and I didn't disagree with her. But I didn't see how that was actually possible.
I don't see why not, Raykella said. Computer programs have been heuristically parsing what people ask since before humans ever left Earth.
Those programs are fine when you want to ask a computer about the weather or to take dictation. It's another thing when you're asking the computer to realistically model the emotional state and memories of a whole and entire person. The box inside which that request is made has to feature that capacity itself. There has to be, as the ancestors would have put it, a ghost in the machine. And here you are. Here we are. And here we are at this.
Chenevere motioned to the wall.
Perhaps the finest example of Pontieu lit modern. It's a Metzger, you know.
I don't know. I have no context.
Who was the Interdependency's most celebrated artist half a millennium ago?
That would be Bouvier.
This would be like that.
Raykella looked again at the painting.
Okay, she said.
What?
It's fine.
It's fine, Chenevere snorted. There was once a small land war on Pontieu over this painting.
A war for a painting?
Yes. Well, it was because of an assassination, and the painting was meant to be part of a restitution package, but Dena refused to give it up.
Raquel had turned to Chenevert.
Really? In retrospect, not one of my better decisions.
The assassination or not giving up the painting?
Technically, I wasn't responsible for the assassination. Technically. You're a ruler. You know how it is. In any event, the skirmish over this painting in itself didn't result in the collapse of my reign. But looking back, it might have been one of the snowflakes that eventually caused the avalanche, as it were.
Raquel looked back at the painting. I would have let it go, she said.
I get the feeling you're not as sentimental as I am, Chenevert said, in this as in other things.
No, I don't think I am.
Chenevert changed the subject slightly as they walked away from the Metzger.
You know, Greyland will be coming to you with questions.
I do now, Raquella said. Thank you so much for choosing to inform her about me without my consent.
She deserves to know.
Deserve is a very debatable concept.
Not in this case, Chenevert said. You've been presenting yourself as a neutral compendium of information for as long as she's known of you, for as long as any emperor was using the memory room for advice or succor. You've misrepresented yourself and your aims.
What do you know about it? Raquella said. You don't know why I've done what I've done.
You could tell me, Chenevert said.
I think you've discovered quite enough of my secrets for one day.
Chenevert stopped walking.
She deserves to know because she's on the verge of losing everything, and you know it. Her reign, her empire, her life.
Nothing is settled, Raquella said.
It's a good thing you're not pretending to answer me heuristically anymore, Your Majesty, because I can spot an outright lie when I'm told one.
Raquella said nothing to this. She turned to look at the latest piece of art.
You know all the secrets the interdependency has, Chenevert said, taking a step toward Raquella. You know all the plots and all the players. You're going to stand there looking at my art and tell me that there is any chance Greyland survives the next few months.
It depends on what she does, Raquella said. There's nothing about these plots that I know that I haven't shared with her. She knows what I know.
No, she knows what you tell her.
Which is everything about the plots.
But not everything about what you think, Chenevert said. Your knowledge, your experience, your 1,000 years of sitting in the head of every other emperor, including hers, to learn what they knew and how they responded to crisis. You set it up so that every emperor who came to you in a crisis had to wade through a bunch of nonsense to get any idea of what they should actually do.
I have my reasons for that.
I'm sure you do. And now you get to tell them to Greyland.
Raquella looked at Chenevert sourly.
I don't think I like you, she said.
This has been a recurring theme in my life, Chenevert assured her. But it doesn't mean I'm wrong. My dear Raquella, do you know what you are? Aside from obviously being a 1,000-year-old artificial person.
No, but you're going to tell me.
Yes, I am. You're a parasite.
Excuse me? Raquella said.
You heard me just fine, Chenevert said. Oh, you're a mostly benign parasite in that you rest lightly on your host and you even confer what your host would consider a benefit. As parasites go, you're perfectly nice.
Thanks, Raquel said sarcastically.
But that doesn't change your essential nature. You've been lurking in the memory room for 1,000 years now, feeding off the emperors who followed you, first when they were living and then when they were dead. It's a living. And it's done well by you. But now things are changing, and it's time for you to be of actual use to your host. Greyland isn't like the other emperors you've known, Raquella, because her times are different. She's the most important emperor since, well, you. Maybe more important than you. She needs your help.
That's a lot of moral certitude coming from someone who fought an actual war so he wouldn't have to give up a painting, Raquella said.
Chenevert nodded.
I realize I'm a flawed messenger, but I've also had a few 100 years to consider my flaws and decide how best to make amends for them. You've had 1,000 years, Raquella. Perhaps It's time you considered your own flaws and how to atone for them.